Welcome to Maritime Software Hub, the People Podcast. On this show, we feature some of the most innovative and exciting technology businesses from across the maritime and logistics space. The show is founded and powered by Cordell Beaumont, which is a niche recruitment agency, and we focus mainly on the commercial and digital shipping markets. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks again for your support. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Season 3 of Maritime Software Hub, the People Podcast. Today, I'm really excited to be joined by Ossi Matala from Napa Group. He's going to talk to us a little bit about an overview of what a role in sales and also more recently product management is like within the maritime technology space. So I'm sure we're going to learn a lot of great kind of tips and insights from him. So welcome, Ossi. Thank you for joining us. And perhaps you can give a quick introduction and an overview of who you are and what you do.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Colin, for having me. I've been listening to your episodes in the past, and I very much enjoy. I'd love to be being as a guest here. So my name is Ossi Matala. I work as a product manager currently for Napa Shipping Solutions, looking for products called Napa Fleet Intelligence and the Voyage Optimization. But as you said, I'm quite new on this role. Previously, I've been on the doing sales for the same products and the customer success management work as well, or the customer service as well. And prior Napa, naval architecture, ship design, all that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Well, no, it's really, really great to get you on the show. And I mean, my business has been familiar with Napa for a few years now, and it's really exciting to have you, to learn and kind of give you more exposure to some of our listeners that maybe not aware of the solution. And obviously a Finnish-based company as well, where you've got teams all around the world. So it's really exciting to learn more about the business side. How did you first start in shipping? What was it that sort of attracted you to the space?
That's a good question. It's pretty much by accident. Right after the high school and the mandatory military service that we have here in Finland, I was, to be honest, quite done with studying and all that. And I decided, hey, I don't want to do any of that stuff. I just want, blue collar work, get along with my life and all that. But then my girlfriend, now wife, kind of convinced me to get back on it, get back to the university, start studying and all that. And then for the shipping, on the bachelor year, we had like a 2 days introduction for all the majors that we had in all the university, and I missed the first day, so that basically ruled out half of the career path for me already at the get go. But on the second day, there were like applied physics and all that kind of present, and naval architecture with this one like very cool guy introducing the major with his colors popped up and all that, good presenter. And I was, because I didn't have any concrete plans for myself, I just, let's go that way. It looks fun, sounds fun. International business, interfacing with the sea and the very, the massive machineries that we build on the shipyards and all that. So sounded like fun. Then after that, finishing with my studies, I worked in a ship design company in Helsinki called Delta Marine. Started as a machinery engineer. My original plan was to be at the shipyards doing the hard stuff at the yards and all that. But one of my very close colleagues there, Mia, she was working on the energy efficiency topics, thermodynamics and evaluating the energy saving devices, doing operational simulations and studies and all that. And she quite soon, started to lure me into her projects and all that, which I did find quite interesting. Started to do or lead the energy team there, doing onboard audits, simulations and for the energy systems on board, teaching the crew and doing the coursework, also educating the seafarers on the energy efficiency and all that.
Brilliant.
Find it very fun. Then came across Napa. Napa has a very good brand in the maritime industry and space in Finland. And because at Nampa, we do the same, you know, we interface with the similar topics, energy efficiency, operational simulation, reducing the fuel consumption and all that. So that's what's drawn me into Nampa, a software company, and now 4 years happily employed at Nampa, doing both product management, sales, and customer service and customer success work.
Good. Well, that's a really interesting journey. And I know, if you don't mind, I just want to kind of rewind a step. I'm really interested to learn a bit more about, you said you had to do your kind of compulsory military service. So we don't have that in the UK. They've been talking about it recently in politics and general elections here at the moment. I can't realistically see it happening. But do you mind me just telling you, asking you what it was like? What sort of, what things did you have to do? And was it just for a year or was it slightly longer or less?
Yeah, for at the time it was 6, 9, or 12 months. I chose, well, the hard way, 12 months. There it was, well, it was interesting, definitely, you know, a learning experience and opportunity to grow in that sense. It's, but honestly, it's something that, you know, all males in Finland pretty much have to do and go through. So it wasn't something that I really thought much about at the time. It worked well. I had a great time, you know, at least, you know, thinking now, looking at the past, I had a great time, but probably at the moment, it wasn't always, you know, sunshine and rainbows and all that. But
did it help?
Definitely a learning
Did it help
experience.
Kind of shape your, or like give you, instill confidence and any kind of people skills, that type of thing to go on into your next role, do you think?
Oh, definitely. Of course, it was quite soon after the high school, you know, when you're still quite junior and all that, but then removing from, you know, the environment that you're used, you know, home and school and a bit of work and this and that and friends, everything that removed, put in a completely new environment with new people, you know, all this also, or previous learned social norms are pretty much removed in that kind of environment. And it definitely helped me to, you know, grow as a person as well and gain confidence and all
Brilliant.
That. And
yeah, we still have lots of Greek contacts, and I know they still, most of them do their service as well, and obviously other countries around the world. So I wonder whether we will have it again in the UK. And I've got young kids, so maybe when they grow up, maybe they will. It could be really interesting for them. But cool.
Yeah. Did you used to have it then?
We did. Exactly. That's right. But they stopped it. So it would be very interesting. I think it would be great. I would have loved to have done it. who knows? Thank you for sharing that. So let's have just a quick overview of Nampa Group. I know you did touch upon what you've been focusing on, but can you just go into a bit more detail about the sort of the solution and how typically they help sort of your customers with their kind of digital journey and improving efficiencies and that type of thing?
Yeah, of course. So at Nampa, we have three business units. We have Nampa Design Solutions, which is developing software for ship designers, shipyards, naval architects, to build and design better ships. But I guess more relevant for your question are the other two. So Nampa Safety Solutions, where we have emergency computers, loading computers, stability solutions, and electronic logbooks. And then the Nampa Shipping Solutions, where we do, well, the main products are fleet intelligence and voyage optimization. The fleet intelligence being the performance analytics solution, you know, to quantify and evaluate the performance of the vessel, and then the weather routing, voyage optimization, as well as the name implies, trying to find the best possible route for the vessel, considering the performance of the vessel, the weather conditions, traffic separation schemes, and nautical charts, etc. And of course, then with the electronic logbooks, from the safety solutions, we generate the data, a lot of that, and then on the shipping solutions side, we can then analyze that. So it is quite, you know, the full data pipeline that we can provide for our customers. And then, and of course, from us onwards for IMO DCS and EU MRV, we can produce the reporting for the verifiers.
Brilliant.
Well.
Okay.
If I may add still one more thing. So quite recently, early this year, we launched a new service called Napa Studios, which is then basically intended to fill all the gaps in between these two product business units. So Napa Studios is a consultation service focusing on doing customer-specific consultation around the software space. So, well, as you very much know, the industry is growing fast when it comes to digitalization, and for many shipping companies, it has brought some, you know, teething pain and challenges and new requirements. And with the studios, the intention is to basically tie down all the stakeholders on the data side, produce solutions, custom built solutions for based on the client needs.
It's really, really interesting and really good initiative, I think. I mean, obviously, Napa have been around for a number of years. They've got a great name in the space. What's your kind of view on the real increase of kind of maybe not competition, but other vendors? Do you think it's been, has it had a big impact on Napa's kind of, I guess, commercial projects and things? Or do you still think there's very good, you've got a good track record and you've got a good client base there? Or is it just becoming much more competitive on every sale, would you say, in general?
Sure. So, if we talk not only about the performance analytics and weather routing solutions, okay, that's maybe the most definitely fastest growing out of the tree, you know, as a global business. It's it seems like, you know, solutions for performance analytics for the vessels has been around for a long time, but it quite recently, within a couple of years now, there has been quite a change on how the business is done. Like before, the solutions were heavily relying on, you know, onboard installations, hardware driven solutions with the software not an afterthought, but, you know, more like complementary service for gathering the data. But more recently, a lot of new startups also have been growing, coming, which are focusing on the software side only as a SaaS product, yes, being more data agnostic, gathering the data from all, you know, from the third party data providers, and just focusing on the analytics and being on the cloud driven solution. So that definitely has put a new spin to the market quite recently, and we, of course, you know, welcome all the competition, but also at the same time means that Napa, we also have to be very much on our toes and aggressive on the product development side and R&D side so that we can keep up and drive the innovation and the market forward.
Good. Well, that brings us nicely kind of to our main sort of topic of the episode, and that's really to give an overview of kind of the sales function within a maritime SaaS business, mm-hmm, and obviously more recently also talk about product management, the two kind of key functions, mm-hmm, there. And you're in a unique position where you've obviously got good exposure to both of those. If it's okay to start with, could we just give a quick overview of kind of what a sales role really is like within a SaaS business, in particular in maritime? Obviously, there's different areas of sales. Some could be more new business generation, hunting, prospect, whereas maybe an account manager or farming role is more about building those relationships and maintaining them and things. But in your words, in your view, just a quick overview of what the day-to-day duties are like of a software sales manager.
Exactly. Yeah, sure. Happily. So I guess the core of everything is, like, you know, the lead generation and qualification of those. So identifying the potential clients, whether it's owners, charterers, ship management companies, or something in between, you know, using various channels that you have, emails, LinkedIn, conferences and trade shows, in general being actively present there, but also, you know, traditional one, the like cold contacting and or just nurturing the existing contacts, and then assessing the needs of those and the pain points, pretty much to evaluate the fit on what your company has to provide, what are the pain points for the customer, and is is this elite worthwhile to take it forward? Are we a match for each other? And then follows up with the, you know, the whole pipeline management, nurturing the leads, prioritization, and but also because of the clients and their needs are pretty much unique one way or another. So just developing a tailored sales strategies for customer to customer, so that, you know, increasing your conversion rates from leads to sales, and that's pretty much quite interesting. And of course, many sales managers have their own approaches on doing that. Personally, I have, with the technical background, I, you know, tend to lead with that. So
yeah,
just understanding the customers, doing a lot of product presentations and listening, being as close as to the customer as possible, and
that makes
trying to find the angle that your company
that makes provide. Yeah, really good sense. And I guess if we break it down a little bit, so in terms of just identifying the type of companies, do you have like a, I don't know, HubSpot or special kind of CRM systems you use for sales, or is it all like an internal Napa system?
We, of course, do have a CRM system that we use. We've been trying out with the, on top of that, like lead generation services, where we have an external service doing the first contacting on behalf of us, which we then can take forward. But that's been quite interesting. And then, you know, there are different databases available out there where they're, you know, contact information of the persons relevant in the business. So just picking up the phone and trying to reach out those. But I guess the most fruitful so far has been the great shows.
Yeah.
So being present, being heard, doing product demos and all that. So we just basically removing the first qualification. So in trade shows, when a person approaches to you, they usually have good reasoning for that.
Yeah.
At least personally, I love doing the sales
trip. I think it's a really good point. Now that, I mean, obviously shipping, very network focused, and if you can get in front of people is the best form of sales. And I guess, the type of people that you're typically approaching, obviously it will depend on the type of solution you're offering. Are you very much approaching more the technical lead, technical directors within ship owners, or is it procurement or any other sort of, or the C-suite, the principal? Who's your main target clientele?
Well, going for the C-suite may work on a smaller shipping companies, but usually they, you know, the results are better if you focus more on the, you know, operational technical teams, depending on slightly what's the company is about. So if it's a ship owner, maybe the technical teams might be more interesting because on the time chartering, the fuel bill is picked by the charterer, not the ship owner. If it's charterer, then the operators in that superintendents and ship owners might be interested. It very much depends on, you know, what's a company profile, where you can get the, you know, contacts out of.
And, okay. No, that makes sense. And last question about this. I mean, in recruitment, we obviously, a lot of it is phone based. We also have lots of digital platforms where we have kind of sales cadences set up via email. So we have our newsletter. We have every week we do like featured candidates that we send out. And then we also have some, if it's a completely new business, we would have our target list of contacts we want to reach out to. We'd build like four or five steps per email sequence to try and follow up with them if there's no reply. Do you ever use that type of thing, or is it much more just in person and maybe on the phone and then the odd kind of digital project?
Well, for us, it has been like being more personal, being more targeted has yielded much, much better results. We tried a few of those like mass marketing type of approaches, you know, shortlisting 1,000 contacts and trying to be in touch with them directly. But honestly, at least for us, it hasn't yielded too much for good results. Mainly could be that, you know, these contacts they already get, you know, tens of those emails a day or reach out per day. So if you can put your personal touch into that, whether it's your own LinkedIn profile or, you know, just cold contacting or getting the contact through the conferences, it's usually has been for us the way to go.
Good. Excellent. That makes sense as well. Okay, so let's talk about the product management side now. So how come, was it something that happened internally where your role shifted more onto the product side, or were you always interested in doing more in that area?
Yeah, well, always been interested and always like being like have a foot into that space. At NAPA Shipping Solutions, well, for the NAPA group in general, we are a completely flat organization, so it's not hierarchical anyway. So pretty much everyone can define or their roles as they see the best for the company. And because of my technical background, because I know the ships and how they operate, I've always been, you know, to a certain degree in almost like an advisory role for the product owners when it comes to this, and, you know, being under the influence of product development the whole time I'm being at NAPA. But earlier this year, you know, the business unit decided that, hey, you know, product management, this is an open position. I applied. I'm very much happy to getting the gig for myself and being enjoying it quite a lot. So
brilliant.
You know, sales is fun, but I guess the engineer in me still wants to build something new, and that's now in the software space for
me. Great. No, really good. We're really, really pleased to see that you've taken that path that most interests you. And can you give an overview of what a product manager is and what the kind of day-to-day really entails for people that maybe haven't come across this part of shipping?
Yeah, sure. So at least it can be pretty much defined on, well, from product to product or company to company, but how at NAPA we are approaching this is that the product strategy so is at the core of the product manager. So defining the product vision, analyzing the market, developing the roadmap, so that what we are then about to be released in 6, 12, 24 months is aligning with the market requirements, and also collaborating with the cross-functional teams. So we have services, designers, developers, and all that. So try to nurture a fruitful discussion between each other. And of course, you know, just reaching out to customers and figuring out that what is it that they are looking for. Being, at least for me, it's very much valuable that I can be close to the end users, conducting interviews and all that, to understand that, okay, what is actually that they're looking for? Maybe not one search and feature level, but rather as a product spectrum, what are the needs and wants? And
okay. And the product itself, could that be a specific module of a tech platform or a SaaS solution, or is there other kind of variables about what the actual product could be? Is it just like a specific release? Can that be called its own product? Or how would you break up the actual term product in the SaaS place?
Okay, so, well, at least for us, the product is the fleet intelligence for performance analytics and voyage optimization for weather routing. They are merged together, functioning on the same platform, and then, you know, further developing that product. So new features, either, you know, in an epic level functionalities, or just tweaking the existing ones so that the user experience is more, you know, seamless for the end users. So, you know, after all, the products that we provide, they are crucial for ship operation, but they are not mandatory in that way, that the ship will sail regardless they have performance analytics or not. And the easier we can make the user, or better that we can make the user experience, you know, the more we will get the usage out of the system, better we can prove the value for the end user and all that. Yeah. So
No, it's a really interesting role function, I think, within the maritime tech space that we've seen people come from, like you said, you said about the subject matter expert, step in maybe from if they've been on board vessels or they've worked on shore in maybe a chartering role or operations role, and then maybe a little bit more tech focused, savvy, let's say. It seems to be a good path for them. But I've also seen kind of former more IT focused candidates and back personnel that maybe have been business analysts or project managers, that type of things. Do you think there's kind of sort of multiple backgrounds that people can come from to come into product managers, or typically do you see a one or two sort of types of people that really do well in the product manager space in general?
It definitely helps if you have some background from the maritime industry. Yes. The whole, you know, the jargon or the language that we use in this space is quite specific, but nothing that you wouldn't be able to learn if you don't have a, you know, professional or educational background on it. For me, it has been very much helpful that I have, you know, the educational background from the naval architecture, and then just, you know, healthy interest on all software and development and tech space in general. We do at NAPA, we have a lot of naval architectures, but also at the same time, product owners, product managers on the other business units, they don't necessarily have the, you know, that or my background, but rather from tech space in general. And that's also equally good approach, I bet. I don't know if you remember the movie Armageddon.
Of course, yeah.
Yes, you know, exactly. On that movie, they sent trailers to space, but you could also do it the other way around. The are astronauts to do the trailing, but that's a path they choose, and I bet both would have worked equally well.
Yeah, excellent. That's a nice analogy. I like it. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, I mean, that's a really good overview of the sales function within a SaaS company, a maritime SaaS company, and then the product management. I mean, if someone was to become a product manager and then they kind of scale their career, what sort of roles and opportunities do you think might be ahead of them? Obviously, maybe not specific to NAPA, but it's just in general.
Good question. So do you mean like when heading towards the product management role, like what would be the steps?
Better way of putting it. Yeah, so the steps to become a product manager. And then after, I don't know whether you become product lead, head of product, chief product officer, those sort of things. So it's there's good sort of, you could really make a long-term career out of this area. Yeah. So just wondering, any tips you can share about how to, scale your career within the product management space. Maybe that's a better way of putting it.
Oh, of course, yes. Yeah, sure. So as for me, like a year ago, I didn't know that this would be, you know, the position that I would be holding today. So I bet there are like a lot of different pathways, and there is no like one, you know, education path or career path which would lead you to this point. But I guess at the core of it's like healthy interest of everything new on the tech space, but also like how the market is working, how your customers are behaving, you know, trying to solve real problems with the software. And that definitely will help you on this career path. And
It's really interesting. We go to a number of events, and not as many as we used to be honest with you, but we'll be doing more. And obviously Posidonia is coming up. And when we see people talking, like doing presentations, quite often it's the product managers, or the product lead, the VP of products, those type of profile that are really, really kind of in tune with the more, I guess, the technical value of the solution. They can really kind of translate it into, I guess the end user value to the customers. So it seems like product managers can have a very good client facing kind of role as well. So it's without perhaps the sort of the pressures of having to knock on doors every day and drive new revenue. So if someone is a bit commercially focused still and loves the thought of running go-to-market strategies and that sort of thing, but without the knocking on doors, is a really good career path, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And it does, at least at NAPA, the product manager does have like a salesy, you know, flavor in it. You are, you know, of course, doing a lot of presentations, trying to reach out to the market. And, you know, time to time, those meetings might turn from, you know, user interviews to the sales events or trainings. Well, not trainings, but meetings. But it's always, you know, you always have to like have the, you know, other ear open for new opportunities. Definitely. But strong communication skills is definitely a must in a role like this, because you're less working on, you know, on the product development side, but rather trying to, you know, bring together internal and external stakeholders.
Yeah.
And definitely communication skills are
there. Good. Well, I think we've covered, the two key role functions, I think, within the SaaS space. So anything else you'd like to share about sales, product management, or NAPA in general? In general.
Well, of course, like, you know, this role that I'm very much enjoying, and if, you know, your listeners are interested on this kind of, you know, roles, I'm more than happy to have a discussion also on LinkedIn and all that. Excellent. So if you want to have a chat, you know, chat, please reach out.
So that's probably the best way to get hold of you on LinkedIn, you think?
Yeah. I guess it's easiest of, you know, email and all that also work, but LinkedIn, you know, I'm there.
Okay. And before you go, I'd like to ask everyone this, but just a little bit about yourself, just to, so we can know you a bit better, Ossie. Is there anything you can share or tell us about you that maybe any people don't know, like hobbies wise or anything you're particularly passionate about?
Yeah. Well, there's one thing, you know, to people who know me know this, but I'm very much into rock climbing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's pretty much, especially when the weather is good as it is right now here in Finland. That's, you know, only thing I'm pretty much thinking of, you know, when I can, you know.
Brilliant.
You do end the work day, get out there, get on the hills or rocks and do that. Yeah, and it's a fun getaway anyway for myself, but also the family, my wife and our daughter, they also really watch into that. So it's a good family thing to do as well.
Yeah, and it was really, and also really good fitness, obviously.
Well,
we have a bouldering, I think it's called bouldering place near us here in Kent. We used to go there quite a lot with my old company. I haven't been for a long time, but they now have opened a big section for kids where they've got the rope and then it has like an elastic belay system essentially. So you don't need a second person.
Okay, all the belay.
So it's really good. Yeah. So yeah, that's
it is. Yeah. It's,
hobby to have.
Yeah, it's like 4 days a week I'm out there doing that. So it's
brilliant.
Definitely the passion of mine, even though I like and the work I do, but what I love is it's out there.
Great. Awesome. Well, really, really good to hear. And thank you so much for your time and sharing your wisdom that you've generated over the years. Now hopefully this will be a really good kind of almost like a little bit of an overview, taking a step back a bit in terms of what the role of sales and product management is and what it entails in our space. So thank you very much, Ossie. Look forward to catching up again soon. And take care.
Thank you, Colin. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Maritime Software Hub, the People Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please do like and share some comments, as it really does help with our engagement and outreach to future listeners. If you'd like to learn more about our recruitment business, visit www.cordellbeaumont.com or send an email to info@cordellbeaumont.com. And we'd love to tell you about some of the latest career opportunities within the maritime technology space. Or, of course, we could also talk about any sort of particular hiring project you may have. So thanks again and look forward to speaking soon.